Thank you. How about if I give the announcements and then have a prayer, and then you can sing or you can play before we start worship, okay? Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. Kind of a small crew this second service. It's nice to have you here. You know, it's amazing to me as a pastor, every Sunday is different. Some come full of joy. I mean, this morning, you know, the sky was so shiny and bright, and people came skipping across, and someone was late, so they came running across, and I think she was about 80 years old, but she was like a little kid, happy to come. And then some come with heavy hearts, and it reminded me that the church some days, you know, it's a gathering place for the happy and the sad, the young and the old, the rich and the poor. It's a safe place for everybody. It's a place where everybody should be safe and where everybody should be welcomed. And some days we're really, really good. Some days we're not so good, you know? Anyway, I'm glad you're here. And we need each other, so thanks for coming. Our condolences to Audrey and Dennis as they mourn the loss of Audrey's brother. I see Gloria back there who took care of a deer. Thank you very much. But sorry for your pain. You didn't. You got away. I'll be out there next week. And, I mean, everybody's got a story. We're going to be a bone marrow transplant for your granddaughter. Sister. For your sister. Oh, why was I thinking granddaughter? I mean, bone marrow transplants, and everybody's got a story. And we need each other, so it's nice to have you a part of this congregation. A couple of announcements. They were handing out raffle tickets this morning for the bazaar. So if you get your raffle tickets, sell them, please. Jan Phillip has them, and if you don't have them, she'll track you down, I'm sure, or look for her. Wednesday, there's a program starting at 4 o'clock here. It's it's for people who have or family members who need to know more about dementia or Alzheimer's. And it's going to be the beginning of some kind of a care group or a support group. So as I looked around that first service, where there were all retired folks, you know, I'm sure they didn't remember the announcement 2 seconds after I gave it. So it was like everyone should be there. But anyway, Wednesday at 4 o'clock, if you wonder what the difference is between dementia and Alzheimer's, I mean, there are differences. And if you wonder what behavior happens, and if you are wondering how to deal with it, people who have gone through it are going through it. It's a way to help each other down the road. So 4 o'clock on Wednesday, if you're interested in that. Next Sunday, there's only one service. If you come at 10 o'clock, you'll be here for the annual meeting. Come at 9 o'clock and you can worship with us, okay? So we have one service at 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock we'll go into the fellowship hall and have our annual meeting. I think that's all we need to announce. Let's open with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we gather as your children, ever mindful of your presence in our lives. We pray your Spirit might stir in us today and remind us of your love and care. Remind us that you will carry us when we need your help, that you are always going to be there for us. And so we pray that we might draw close to you today and allow you to love us and forgive us and give us your wisdom as to how we can better live our journeys. So bless us with your presence, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have the bells open. Thank you. Thank you. We will dismiss you with our thanks. The congregation, please rise and let's turn to hymn 614. There is a balm in Gilead.
Balm in Gilead to make a wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal a sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in pain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done, and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you, and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our teacher and guide, you draw us to yourself and welcome us as beloved children. Help us to lay aside all envy and selfish ambition, that we may walk in your ways of wisdom and understanding as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we invite Mary to read our first lesson.
The first reading this morning comes from James chapter 3, 13, chapter 4, 3, and 4, 7, verses 8 through 8. The wisdom God gives unites our hearts and minds. Instead of living to satisfy our own wants and desires, we manifest this wisdom in peace, gentleness, mercy, and impartiality towards others. Chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Chapter 4. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and you cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you are wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Psalm 54. We'll read it responsively, and when you see the bold R, respond with, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Save me, O God, by your name. In your might, defend my cause. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and the ruthless have sought my life, those who have no regard for God. Behold, God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Render evil to those who spy on me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will offer you a freewill sacrifice and praise your name, O God, for you have rescued me from your every trouble, and my eye looks down on my enemies. God is my helper. It is the Lord who sustains my life. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 9th chapter of St. Mark. Jesus' teaching and action in this text are directed to the church whenever it is seduced by the world's definition of greatness, prestige, power, influence, and money. The antidote is to such a concern for greatness is servanthood. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn number 744. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you ever wake up and some days things just don't seem to get going or don't seem to feel right? You should have been here this first service, you know. It just wasn't right. Some people come in with hurting hearts. Then everybody's in, the bells start playing. And then there's an old couple running in at the end, and they say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed, I didn't get here, you know." Then I get up, and the microphone isn't on, so during the first hymn or whatever, I got to wander around. And then my battery is dead, and then the bells, as good as they sounded here, that's how bad they were they weren't on, and it was just discordant. And it reminded me that's kind of our lives. Some days we wake up and things go really smooth and you're excited for the day and ready to take on the world and you know God is in his heaven and all is right in the world. But some days you get up and already there's a different spirit in this worship service. There's always a different spirit in all the worship services I go to. And here I see people, a lot of people who are hurting and need God's healing hand. And I know that God is present here. And I know his spirit is here. He was present in the first service too. But it took us a while to wake it up, you know. And understand that there is no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect life. Each one of us fight our own little, I call them demons, our own little problems. And you know what yours is. And I know what mine is. And there's no one immune. Obama and Mitt and all the rest, they got theirs. You and I got ours, you know. Your kids, everyone fights their own demons. And we need to help each other. That's what the best thing about the church is for me, is we can help each other down the road if we dare share a problem. Today we have the disciples on the road to with Jesus. Jesus wants to get away from the people, and I can see him walking ahead. And the disciples, kind of dozen of them behind, they're arguing who's the best. I'm the champion. I'm the best. And I'm going to get the best seat in heaven because I'm the best. And I looked around that first service. You could see the guy over here who thought he was the best fisherman. The guy over here who knows he's the best fisherman. And the guy over here who knew his grandkids are the smartest grandkids around and best looking. And I mean, on and on. Guys, are they competitive? Women are competitive too, okay? But only a little less subtle way. Point is, we need Jesus. And Jesus says, if you want to be great, if you want to know who God is, if you want to be great, the greatest must become the servant of all. Last, you want to be great, you take the lowest rung. I was reading an interesting story that came out of the Second World War. England and Germany both had state-of-the-art fighter planes. Germany had the Messerschmitt, and the British had the Supermarine Spitfire. Spitfire was slower than the Messerschmitt. The Spitfire didn't handle as well, but those German flyers wanted the Spitfire, even though they had the Messerschmitt. You know why? Because the Messerschmitt, which was strong, powerful, accurate, everything like that, was built after the perfect man. And you know who the perfect man was? Der Führer, Herr Hitler. And Hitler was only 5 foot tall. And these German pilots were 5'10", 6'2". And they were cramped in there. And they wished they could be in a British Spitfire. Because they couldn't operate. It's an amazing fact, but many leaders fail because of their big egos. They think they are the perfect man or woman. Big men in little planes. Big egos in little men. Our friend, the bard, Bill Shakespeare, said, "Pride goeth before the fall," and he's right. It's true. When we think we're number one, you're going to be knocked right off your peak, king of the hill. And my old grandma used to say, if you want to be greatest of all, servant of all. She'd say, share a strength, have no friends. Share a weakness, have many friends. The greatest of all, the servant of all. We read when the disciples refused to answer Jesus' question about what were you talking about, Jesus sits down. Anytime you read the scriptures, when Jesus sits down, that's a teaching moment. You better listen to what Jesus says, because Jesus is saying an important statement. And what he says is, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Anyone who wants to be first has to be the very last. That's why I always go last in our potlucks during Ash Wednesday. It works, because I get some good stuff and as much as I want, but we're not going there. Interesting words from the Master, though. If you want to come in first, you've got to be willing to come in last. You must be willing to serve. I want to focus some thoughts on that. Let's begin with the very human desire of wanting to be first. I joke about men with their egos, and you know some of you women have those egos too. So we're talking about everybody here. It's very rare to discover a successful person in any field who doesn't have a healthy opinion of themselves. You need to feel good about it yourself. You need to feel confident. One of my favorite Christians of the 20th century, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa had a strong, strong ego. No one could deter her from her cause. She was going to get her work done, and she was going to do it well. She could confront powerful politicians and get what she wanted done. Her ego, though, was restrained by humility, because before the Lord, she humbled herself. But she wanted to serve him, and she kept that as her goal. I've read where in the home that Mother Teresa built in Calcutta, that there were no stoves, there were no washing machines, there were no electric fans, no air conditioners, and they were just north of the equator. So it was hot and hot and hot there. I mean, she explained that their absence... She didn't want them there because I don't want them because the poor don't have them. We're going to live like the poor. And then when she thought her sisters, missionaries of charity, that they should eat food like the others, she shared that with one of her best friends, trusted sister, and the sister says, you know, how do you expect the sisters to work if the bodies receive no sustenance? Well, the food that the locals ate was just rice and salt. But she gave them, she allowed them to eat well, but only simple food, nothing fancy. Mother Teresa had a very strong sense of servanthood. Her ego was disciplined by her commitment to Christ and her commitment to the poor. She followed this verse. Those who serve Christ need a healthy sense of self-worth. Contrary to popular belief, Jesus doesn't need more wimps. There are some Christians out. You know, I've got a friend in Winnipeg who likes to, you know, he likes to dig me. He says, "You Christians are a bunch of wimps. He who is greatest of all must be servant of all." You know, use the word like blessed. Even you, Jim, you wear a skirt to church. You're a bunch of wimps. He tries to get my goat. And, you and I, as Christians, need a strong sense of self-worth. And the self-worth comes because we represent God. We are His hands in the world. We are called to care for the down and out, the poor, the marginalized, the rejected. Sometimes we put a little too much emphasis on the meek and the mild Jesus. Especially at Christmas time, little baby, meek and mild, servant of all, suffering for all. If he were that meek and that mild, why in the world would anybody crucify him? If he were that meek and that mild, would he throw out the money changers in the temple? If he were that meek and that mild, why would they send a cadron of soldiers to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane? So he says to his disciples today, anyone who wants to be first, you must be last, and servant of all. In other words, he doesn't ask us to give up our strong egos. He wants us to discipline those egos so that we can serve him and to serve all those for whom he died. Dr. Melvin Cheatham, a medical doctor, tells about a friend of his named Barb. Barb traveled with Cheatham and his wife to Kenya to do some mission work. And when she was in Kenya, her heart changed. Now, from childhood, she wanted to grow up and be a doctor and serve God by working with people who were underprivileged. But now she's in her 50s. And after that trip, she said, "I've got to go to med school." So she sold her house, moved into a small apartment, applied to med school, got in, finished her first year, wrote a letter to Cheatham, and said, "You know, I'm trying to fulfill my dream. I won't get done for 6 years, but I'll probably be the oldest graduating doctor that ever lived." But she said she hoped to work in the mission field. Cheatham got on the phone right away and said, "You know what? We need you now. You've got two master's degrees already. You've got a background in teaching. Someone like you is badly needed in the mission school, In fact, he named the town Londiani, Kenya. And the teachers there have need your expertise. You can train them, and they need it now. They don't need it in 6 years. And so she looked up Londiani, and she found out that they'd already had a school. They had a clinic, and now they were building a hospital. She's thinking, he wants me to go now? He wants me to go now? Now? Now, Barb was one who appreciated the fine things of life, huh? And she was one who took germs seriously, so she starts thinking tribal warfare and genocide and natives on the rampage and AIDS and malaria and Ebola virus and snakes and wild animals. And now? Where is this Londiana? She asked the doctor. So she looked it up. There it was in Western Kenya. And she decided, oh, okay. So she decided there was where she needed to be. So when she announced to her grown children that I'm going to be a missionary in Africa, I'm going this summer, they weren't so encouraging as you can imagine kids would be, huh? One said, you know, you're losing it, Mom. You're losing it. Going to Africa at your age? One said, I'm proud of you, Mom, but can't you find something nice and safe a little bit closer to home? And then the third one says, just blurted out, Mom, I don't want you to die. And that boiled her over. She said, that's when it hit home. She blurted out, I tried to teach you how to live, and now I'm going to teach you how to die. And, of course, not every person who becomes a missionary in Africa goes to die. But Barb had settled down in her own mind that if God required that of her, that's what she was ready to do. She wasn't a wimp by any stretch of the imagination. She was a woman of courage, the kind of woman, the kind of person that God is looking for. She was the kind of person who would put it on the line. Jesus didn't scold his disciples for having great dreams, for wanting to be first. And wanting to be the best and wanting to be the greatest. Ambition can be a useful tool to put you in a place where you can work better. But he wanted his disciples, and he wants you and I to understand that the greatest in the kingdom of God means a total commitment of serving all of God's children. And you notice in this lesson then, he picks up a little child and said, such is the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one of these kids in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes God. Part of serving Christ is helping create a kind of world that's safe for all the world's children. And when we hear about wars in the Mideast and in Egypt and all those places we're hearing, kind of makes you just shake your head and wondering what we're doing wrong. If you want to be the greatest, commit your life to serving the least and the lowest. That's what Jesus is saying. Big men in little planes. Why were they in those little planes? Because of a big ego and a little man. Now God wants us to stand tall by humbling ourselves as he humbled himself and giving our lives as he gave his life to save and serve the world. If you want to be number one, if you want to be the greatest, that's the blueprint. You become servant of all, the slave of all. Make this a better world for all of God's children. That's what we should be about as a church. Huh? In the words of truly one of the greatest people of the last century, Albert Schweitzer, this is what he said. I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I do know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. May that be true in your life and in mine. Amen. May God's peace and love be not with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, 686, and we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Thank you.
my word, though dim our faith may be, whatever we do for thy God, we do it unto thee.
Please rise and turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us join together in prayer. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, bring before you these offerings of our treasure. Bless these gifts and use them in the work of your realm on earth. Give strength to hands that labor, vision to minds that create, and hope to lives who serve. In Jesus' name, amen. As disciples of Christ Jesus called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. O God, make your church around the world great in service and care to those who are poor. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O God, bring favorable weather to farmlands, clean air to cities, and calm seas to coastlines. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
Spirit of righteousness, bring peace to conflicts and disputes around the world. Fill leaders with mercy and gentleness born of your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy. God, our helper, is you who sustains our life. Hear the prayers of those in trouble or in any need. We especially pray you'll lift up Audrey Bistedeau and her family as they mourn the loss of her brother Chuck. Comfort them in their mourning. Send your Spirit to move in their hearts. We ask your presence to be with Dee Olson, be with her son as he goes to surgery to fix a broken leg. Be with her granddaughter who's giving birth even as I speak. Send your holy angels to make things go well. We ask your blessing to be with Ivan Peterson and Gloria Christensen and our friend here who's giving a bone marrow transplant this week. Be with those others who are hurting or alone, who need your presence in their lives. Send it and comfort them, Lord. Draw near to them with your healing presence, Lord, in your mercy. God of all, prepare us to welcome everyone into this assembly and readily accept the gifts they bring to the life and ministry of this congregation. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings you have given to each one of us. Especially thank you for the Karen family and the Masons who celebrate the wedding of their children. Allow that union to be strong. We pray, O Lord, for those who are packing their bags, getting ready to head south. Travel with them, Lord, and keep them safe. And walk with each one of us this fall, Lord. Help us to enjoy the creation that you have given to us. Remind us again and again that he who is first must be last and servant. Everlasting God, we give thanks for your servants of every generation. Help and defend us from all evil until we worship and praise you around your throne with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayers, faithful God. And renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer the Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 733. Let's sing the first and the last verse.
Great is thy faithfulness, God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. How great is not thy compassion, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace.